Bart Scott had some advice for Josh Allen earlier today. Before we get to the audio, why don't we bring in our boy, longtime NFL Super Bowl champ, our TSN NFL analyst. Here's Luke Wilson. What's happening, Luke?
Not much. We got to go there, don't we, man? You got to put me on the spot for this.
You know it's coming, man. You know it's
right
coming.
Right off the gate. Right out of the gate, buddy.
Yeah, it's fastballs. No question. Here. Fastballs here. Well, let me play the audio, okay? So Josh Allen, because I want to – let me, before we play the audio, let me ask you about the fact that Allen went on the record saying he's got circulation issues and he gets cold and his feet get cold and his toes get cold. Like, what kind of message is that sending? Do you have any issue with him going public with that truth?
You know, I don't know if I have an issue with it, but I find it very, very, very strange. In the sense of, like, you got to think, and maybe Buffalo's running a different operation in Seattle. Our equipment guys in Seattle were like wizards, man. Like, have you ever had an actual issue like that? Like, hey, I'm really struggling. I've got this, or my toes are freezing. These guys will find, like, you know, I'm laughing thinking about it, but it's like, if that's the issue with your toes, like, I've been doing a little bit of road cycling recently. And there's, like, toe covers you can put over cycling cleats. Like, there's things you can do to combat these issues. So I thought that whole thing was just bizarre. I'm like, what is this guy talking about right now? And he can't seriously blame poor play in the cold on his toes being cold. That's absurd.
Yeah, that's not – and that just isn't going to play in Buffalo. Like, he's a rock star in Buffalo, as he should be. He's a great young quarterback. And he won them a playoff game for the first time in – over 20 years last year. And I think they're going to win on Saturday night. I like the Bills. But if they don't and he doesn't perform well, this is going to be all over Buffalo. Like, all over. What's up with him? Can he perform in the playoffs when it gets cold? So Bart Scott was on ESPN this morning. And this is what Bart Scott had to say to Josh Allen. This was his suggestion to get over the issues that he's dealing with.
Can I get you a suggestion for him?
You want me
Josh Allen listening? Can people get this message to him? Viagra. Take some Viagra for the game, baby. That'll fit that circulation going right.
I don't know how to move off of that.
I don't have any medical background, so I can't. I don't really have a response to that. But you played, so you must know something.
A lot of us take Viagra, right? Because Viagra opens up the blood vessels.
Sir, a lot of us take Viagra. What do you mean?
A lot of NFL players, at least in my day, took Viagra because it opens up the blood vessels. Not endurance athletes, because Viagra was first a heart medicine, right? So it builds up circulation, which makes sure that it gets the circulation to the feet.
I love how he grinds through the explanation. He's like, I'm committed to this.
I love how he also says the circulation to the feet. It's like, what? What, a guy's looking to get a toe on?
Exactly. Their toes, they got a date tonight, man.
I've got my toe on. I'm ready to go.
All right, Luke, take us inside the league, man. You played when Bart Scott was in the league. What's up with
this? Listen, and I feel like I've been pretty honest on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I've never heard of this. I wish I have, just so I can tell you something funny.
Okay.
I've never heard of it. If guys in Seattle's locker room were using that to stay warm, I mean, and to be honest, I was quite the character in that locker room. And, like, really, you know, you spent a lot of time there. If I would hear about it, like, because someone would tell me so I could start ragging on them. And there's a lot, and to be honest, there's a lot of things that are being taken in that locker room before games. Trust me on that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not all of them legal. But I've never heard of that. That even today when I saw that clip, I'm like, that's bizarre. I'm not a doctor, but I'm not really sure that Viagra does what he's saying. I mean, theoretically, maybe, but I don't know. And I also think, you know, it's kind of a high risk, high reward situation, because if, you know, something else occurs, maybe as a the true effect of Viagra, that might be a little awkward.
No kidding.
Again, that one was a weird one. I will say that this whole thing is just, and I know I keep going back to it, but, like, we played in Minnesota a couple years back. It was freezing. Like, you'd walk outside, and if you had any, like, eyes that were watering, it would freeze, like, as it was dripping down your face. And all I can tell you is, like, those benches on the sideline have heat coming from every direction. The thing that you put your helmet on the sideline is heated. I mean, those big jackets are super warm. Everybody that's watching an NFL game has seen those huge fans. You get too close to those fans, I'm worried I'd catch on fire. They're so hot. So it's like a lot of times in this NFL stuff, I don't truly get even the hand warmers. Now they have pouches inside the hand warmers, which we would load up with the little heat packs. You would shake the little, I don't know what they're called, but you'd shake these little packs and you'd put them in there. So inside the heat pack or more heat packs. So I just, even when we're in Green Bay, don't get me wrong, when you're on the field, is it a little chilly jogging out there? Sure, but like, it's hard to really be cold, if that makes sense, because there's so many options to like keep you warm on the sideline.
You spend so much time in Seattle, and it's like a great environment there, one of the best home buildings in the NFL. But we were discussing Buffalo and a new stadium moving forward. Like, is it part of the deal for Buffalo or Green Bay to be playing in an outdoor stadium where you're freezing your ass off? Like, why not a dome that you can open up, close? And I know Dave Festchuk, who's on the show with us today, has mentioned that's $500 million extra to have that element to the stadium. But why wouldn't they have this? It's better for everybody, isn't it, Luke?
I disagree, man. I'll tell you, here's a quick one. This was probably my, I'm going to say third year, maybe fourth year. I can't remember, but we had played on the road in Green Bay, and either like the next week or maybe 2 weeks later, went to Dallas. And as a football player, I remember thinking, like, talk about the yin and yang of football in stadiums. You go through Lambeau, you pull in, you're driving through the neighborhood. There's Brett Favre painted barns everywhere. Okay, and then you all of a sudden comes Lambeau Field. Locker room is, you know, pretty generic. Nice is what it is. You walk through this tunnel underground that has, like, no paint, no anything, no advertising. It's just like a beige wall into this grass Lambeau Field. Outside, it's a little chilly. There's obviously advertisements, but nothing, like, too crazy. And then you go to Dallas where we legitimately walk through a bar to get onto the field. And it's just like, at one point, there's not enough advertising, so they had blimps with advertising inside the stadium. And to me, it was just a circus. Like, I get what you're saying about weather and stuff, but I don't know. As a guy who's played football for a long time, even playing in Buffalo, and the only time I played in Buffalo was when I was in Detroit. And I'm like, I mean, the Bills fans were rowdy. It was outdoors. It was late in the year. It was cold. It just kind of adds, like, when I think of Buffalo Bills football, I think of kind of a brisk winter day and then playing ball, you know. And I would be, if they did do a new stadium with a dome, I'd be upset. I think it's a bad play, but that's my opinion.
Well, the problem, Luke, of course, in Buffalo is that in a lot of ways it's a team built for warm weather playing in Buffalo, and certainly Josh Allen, a California quarterback, would be that guy. And then you look at the brisk winter day where the New England Patriots came to town a while back and beat the Bills by throwing the ball three times with their rookie quarterback, Mac Jones. I mean, if you're a Bills fan, how concerned are you that in this third matchup between these teams of this season, that the mastermind Bill Belichick comes up with a game plan that is going to be really good in cold weather and could beat the Bills?
Oh, if I'm a Bills fan, I'm terrified. And it's funny, I tried to get this out yesterday on Jay Onright's show, but I think that if you look at the NFL in a as a whole, it's very, very tough to beat teams twice. And I'm going to try and articulate this a little more simple, but why I say that is because the NFL, you know, we see it as fans as like, oh, this guy made a lot of plays, this guy didn't. But the reality is, I'd say out of all the professional sports, coaching matters the most in the NFL. You think of it, they call every play, they prepare guys, the studying beforehand. It's really a big-time chess game going on out there, and it's not a game like basketball or hockey that there's like a big-time flow. You know, it's very choppy. And why I'm saying that is, you know, you look at New England, they beat Buffalo, bam, game one. Now when they go back to prepare for game two, New England's sitting there playing the guessing game a little bit. Hey, we know Buffalo's not going to come out and play the same defense because we ran all over them. What Buffalo tried to do last time isn't going to work. So New England's, we call it chasing ghosts a little bit. When they're going into game two, they're chasing ghosts. If we think Buffalo's going to adjust like this, so let's prep for this. You know, and it's a little bit of a smorgasbord, if you will, of like what you're preparing for, where if you're Buffalo, it's like, hey, New England just beat the living hell out of us running these 12 plays all week. We are going to, even if it's new, you know, defensive fronts, different blitz, different guys in their spots, we are going to stop these 12 plays. So they have something to really prepare for. And now all of a sudden you look at game two, Buffalo wins, and now the tables have kind of flipped where it's like Bill's going to be sitting back there, the mastermind Bill, like, hey, we know what beat them game one. If they do this, we've got all this in our repertoire. And I know how they now reacted to what we were trying to do. So he's going to have, in my opinion, a little bit more of an upper hand as far as preparation goes going into this game.
Luke, there's been so many changes with coaches getting fired from mediocre to bad teams. If you're a free agent, what would you need to see for a hire coming up? Let's talk about Houston or Miami or a team like that, where it would catch your interest, like for the new coach going in there. What would you need to see where you'd be like, I want to play for that guy. I know it's not a great team right now, but that guy will turn things around, and I'll go there. And I know you went to Detroit. You didn't have a ton of fun, but in this situation, you know, right now.
To be honest with you, I got a call from Matt Patricia when I was going to Detroit. I was sitting in my driveway in LaSalle, Ontario, and I had a 3-year deal in Carolina. And I had called my agent and been like, yeah, I'm going to sign with Carolina. At the last minute, I think I was bamboozled, to be honest with you, by my agent, but we're not going to go there today. Okay. The last minute, he was like, hey, Bob Quinn's calling from the Lions. You know, there's a little more money on the table now. It's a 1-year deal. And I got a call from Matt Patricia, and you said it, where it's like he was a guy where after that phone call, I was like, man, with his background, with his phone call, I just felt like he was going to turn around Detroit, and I was super excited to be a part of that, especially from a hometown perspective, being like, man, if I could be on the squad that Detroit finally turns around. We all know that didn't work out, but that was kind of my mentality. So as a player,
you had 3 years in Carolina. What were you thinking?
I mean, you're going to laugh, but part of the allure was Greg Olsen was in Carolina still, and I'm like, I had just, you know, I had played. You know, now we're going down personal here. I'm sorry that I've gone this tangent. But my second year, I had started in Seattle, and we went right to Super Bowl and lost in the final second, obviously. And I thought I had a pretty good year, you know, statistically. I thought I did a very good job blocking. And in that offseason, we traded for Jimmy. And my numbers, you know, I thought my play elevated, but my numbers didn't, because it was like, now, you know, third down, red zone, I'm not tight end in there like the year before. So I sat there and I'm like, all right, I could take this deal where now all of a sudden I'm playing the same role that I played for Jimmy, for Greg Olsen, or I could go to Detroit and fight to be the man over there. And that's kind of why I rolled the dice. At that point, I was like, you know, money-wise aside, like, let's not play it safe. Of course, with my dumb luck, Greg Olsen broke his foot, never played for the entire season, and Detroit was the absolute biggest bloodbath of my entire life. But that's neither here nor there now.
Right.
But I guess going back to the coaching thing, I think, you know, and I was actually in a group chat, I'm not going to say with who, but a couple guys that are free agents, we were talking about this, and organizationally, and you see like a lot of these coaches that, hey, you last 1 year, you last 2 years, and it's just, there's a lot of very poor coaches in the NFL, and there's a lot of guys that, you know, they get a perception, and they're perceived to be smart or good, and all of a sudden the media takes off, and it's kind of a lot. It's very political. Like, who do you know? Who's suggesting you?
How do they get recycled, though, Luke? Like, how do they not go to an interview and someone says, this is nonsense, I'm not buying this, I'm not hiring this guy, and furthermore, giving him a boatload of money?
Oh, I can answer that one easy. I can answer that one really easy, and it's the same way about the NFL draft. And it's wild, and this way you don't see a ton of NFL players coming back, and the guys that do coach, they usually do pretty well. And the answer is because everybody's scared to be fired. And what I mean by that is, and why I'm comparing to the draft, is basically if you're a GM and you're hiring a coach, and it's like, hey, I can go and get this guy who's gone 9-7 in this league, who's gone 10-5, who's gone 7-9. It's a safe hire. No one's going to sit here and be like, hey, this is really, really risky. This guy's one game. Yeah, he might not have won a Super Bowl, but he's won games in the NFL. He's been a head coach. We can trust him. We can trust him from a media perspective. There's no skeletons in his closet. I'm not going to get fired. But then all of a sudden you get the odd guy that doesn't give a damn and is like, listen, the media might dump on me for a little bit, but I think this guy's going to take my team in the Super Bowl. And they're going to have to take some heat early because it's like, yo, this guy's underqualified or whatever. But they take a shot. And now as a GM, you're kind of stuck with this guy where it's like, if the guy doesn't turn out, you're getting canned because you're the guy who took the risk. And I say the same thing with the NFL draft. If you look at like these middle round guys, you know, it's always a lot of like, if you're a scout and you come in there, let's say you're a low end scout, you're a regional guy, and you go into your head honchos and you're like, hey, let's say, we're just going to use me, for example. If I'm a low-end, kind of low totem pole scout, and I'm scouting Southeast Texas or something, I go to some low-end D1 school or D1AA school, and I'm like, damn, this kid's a stud. I think this kid can play in the league for 10 years. If I come into that meeting, and I'm like, yo, this kid can play in the league for 10 years, but no one knows about him, versus, hey, this other guy, he's okay. He's maybe a 3-4-year guy, but everybody knows about him because he's playing at Texas. Like, you tell me, are you willing to stick your neck on the line for the kid who's playing at Prairie View A&M over the kid who's playing at Texas? I mean, it kind of depends on the person. And I think that's why these coaches get recycled, because the people in power are very afraid that if they go, you know, outside of the box, they're going to be responsible if things don't work out.
Yeah, I think that's very accurate. And it's probably a sign of exactly what we're going to see in the next month or so. A lot of retreads, a lot of guys coming in, getting gigs. 9-7, 6-10, 7-9. See you later. Move on. Anyway, it's going to be a fun weekend this weekend. 6 games in total. We'll break it all down with you next weekend. Can't wait for it. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Appreciate you guys.
Luke Wilson, our TSN NFL analyst. Super Bowl champ, former Seattle Seahawk, Detroit Lion, Oakland Raider for a short period of time as well. So it's always great to get Luke on.